I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-338-6906, 800-338-6906. That's 800-338-6906. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio, Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, everybody. This is the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition. I am Mike Wilson, filling in for our usual man on the scene, Andy Dorf. He is on vacation, enjoying a little downtime. So, Andy, I hope you're having a good time. Today, hey, look, people, we got a lot to talk about. I'm going to be joined by our professor of sports, John Poulter. We're going to talk hockey. We're going to talk baseball. We'll talk some college football even with him, probably some NBA. John, you're there. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks, Mike. Always glad to join you. Hope Andy enjoys his vacation, but you and I will carry it through.
Yes, we will. We will certainly carry it through. We got a lot to talk about. Look, hockey season is off and running, as we all know. Baseball just finished up. And, you know, college football and the NBA are not stopping, so we're at a good point in terms of what to talk about during the hour. So come back and join us, everybody. We will be back. This is the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition.
And you, come on in. Yes.
Couches are flying off the floor at Cheyenne's furniture store.
Sarah, can you go over to dining sets, please?
She needs more sales associates before shoppers take their seats elsewhere.
Can somebody get me a price check on trundle bits?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
When others treat your fries as an afterthought, all you're left with are cold, soggy fries. That's why Wendy's new fries are ones you won't forget, guaranteed to be hot and crispy, or we'll replace them. We're talking natural-cut, skin-on fries, perfectly seasoned with a hint of sea salt. In fact, they're even preferred almost 2-to-1 over McDonald's. These are fries so hot and crispy, they beg a new question.
What would you like with your fries?
Trying them today, only at Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, taste preference based on a national taste test by an independent research company.
You're always up for some fun with the family. So you order the essentials, a new board game, some baking supplies, and even a new projector for outdoor movie night. And with the Bank of America customized cash rewards credit card, you can choose to earn 3% cash back on online shopping, which could increase to up to 5.25% as a preferred rewards member. Rewards which you can put toward an extra treat that everyone will enjoy, like an old-fashioned popcorn machine. Visit bankofamerica.com/more rewarding and apply now. Copyright 2021 Bank of America Corporation.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who'll offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who'll sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-449-1759. 800-449-1759. 800-449-1759. Again, that's 800-449-1759.
Sammy Blay, his shot scores! Inside of the net, now the pass back to him with 18 seconds in the power play. Couturier, so look, Niskanen sneaks down, shot, score! Couturier spotted Niskanen! And it's a power play goal. The Flyers lead 4-0. Niskanen is second.
Oh, still out there for Vegas as it's Gotkinievi ahead. Anderson's got a step. Gus Anderson stopped by. Rebound. Scores. Jesperi Gotkinievi. And the Canadians have the icebreaker in game five. Marchessault around and now John Merrill. Nice short pass. Canadians are out. They'll get a change if they want it. Toffoli leads it. Here's Suzuki moving in. Swing for the corner. Centers it in front. Scores! What a pass by Suzuki. And Eric Staal makes it 2-0.
This is Dorf on Sports.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition. My name is Mike Wilson. Once again, I am filling in for the Dorf Man. He is on vacation, enjoying some downtime. But as always, I am joined by our professor of sports, coming to us straight from Toronto, Canada, which probably doesn't have as nice weather as I'm having in the Valley of the Sun in Phoenix right now, to say the least, I would imagine. But John Poulter, our professor of sports, how you doing this morning, buddy?
I'm doing well, thanks, Mike. And I knew you were going to get that jab in about the weather, so let's get it dealt with right off the bat. The good news is there's no snow here. It's 41 degrees Fahrenheit. Wind chill takes it to 36 Fahrenheit, so don't have to get those shovels out yet, but I am very jealous of you sitting in the sunshine.
Yeah, I am sitting in the cool shade on my back patio, so it's all good down here in the Valley of the Sun. But John, you know, look, getting to, you know, some hockey season's underway. There's a lot of things that you take a look at the beginning of the year, and one of those is the plethora of good rookies that are in the NHL. What are we seeing out of these rookies so far this season?
Well, great question. It's been a funny season because, you know, with every team now in this situation where there's a salary cap and so many teams are locked into long-term contracts at big dollars for their stars, you tend to look for your rookies to fill in some of those spots. And whether you get those rookies out of the draft, whether you get them out of the European pool, the bottom line is you're looking for guys that you can pay close to minimum salary to get you through to bridge that gap. And obviously what it's done is it's created, I guess to put it bluntly, you've sort of eliminated a lot of the middle ground. You take a team like Toronto who's got four or five guys making big, big dollars, all of a sudden, that takes up a big chunk of your $81 million salary cap. At some point in time, you've got to fill in. So it puts a lot of pressure on your scouts to go out and scout the guys properly, and then, of course, to sign them and develop them. And in the case of the Europeans, hope that they develop and transition to the North American game quite quickly.
Yeah, no, I heard this being talked about the other day on an NHL game that I was actually watching. Kind of kudos to me a little bit for watching NHL this early in the season. But, yeah, they were just talking about how this rookie class is very talented. Some of them are maybe getting off to a slower start than usual, but they expect these rookies to produce in fairly short order. But, do you expect these rookies to kind of pop fairly early in the NHL, or is it like any other sport? They're a rookie. You got to kind of take it as what it is with a rookie in the NHL.
I think it's the latter case, Mike. It's like any other sport. You're going to get some rookies that are going to come into the league and they're going to struggle for a little while because it's a huge step up from whatever league they were playing in, be it junior, be it college, be it the European leagues. Then they're going to, mature a little bit. And I don't mean necessarily through age. I mean through playing skills. They're going to get used to the pace. They're going to gain some confidence that they can play in the league at that level. And they're going to level out and become good players. Then you're going to get the opposite guys that come in. They take the league by storm because nobody knows how they play. Nobody knows how to defend them. The goaltenders don't know where their strengths and weaknesses are in terms of their shot skills. And sooner or later, the league finds a way to shut them down. We see this in baseball all the time with rookies. A guy, first time through the league, he does very, very well, and all of a sudden, teams adjust to him. And we know that baseball is probably the biggest sport, the sport with the biggest adjustment period. And second time through the league is always the telltale for a hitter in baseball or for a pitcher in baseball. It's really no different than hockey. You get a guy that's a good goal scorer in junior. He comes into the NHL. He has some moves that people haven't seen before because they haven't seen him play before. Sooner or later, they adjust. Second time around, they know how to defend him. And, of course, now with all of these teams not necessarily sharing videos but having the same videos available to them, it's very easy to scout somebody. Take an example, the Detroit Red Wings. The Leafs are playing the Detroit Red Wings next week, and there's two rookies on the Red Wings. Before next week, the Leafs are going to have sat down and watched an awful lot of video of the first 10 or 12 Red Wing games, get some idea how these kids are playing. They'll adjust their defensive zones accordingly, and these guys will settle in. You're always going to have the superstars that come out of, again, the same three sources, the European leagues, the U.S. college leagues, and the Canadian junior leagues. They're going to come in, they're top quality players, they're going to take the league as equals, and they're going to produce. So I guess in answer to your question, it's really no different than any other sport in my mind. It's a game of adjustments, and everybody has to adjust accordingly. So 20% of the games into the season, I think most teams have played between 12 and 15 games. We're starting to see these guys level out. Probably better to have this conversation in terms of individual breakdowns about another 10 or 15 games into the schedule when we can really see what we have. We might be in a situation right now where a lot of these guys are just playing very well, and sooner or later we'll fall back into being an average numbers for what we would expect out of rookies.
Right. No, I agree. And that is the voice of John Poulter, our professor of sports here on the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition. Once again, my name is Mike Wilson, filling in for the Dorf Man, who is not with us this weekend, but we'll be back in force, for the late night show and for next week. John, my next question is simply this. We take a look at the standings here, and, Florida's 10-2, Carolina's 11-2, Minnesota's 10-4, Edmonton is 10-3. Are there any of those teams a surprise to you that are kind of playing well early, or is it kind of what you expected?
Well, a little bit of both, Mike. I knew the Florida Panthers would be a good team. We saw them play very well last year in a shortened season. I expected them to be a reasonable team. I did not expect them to be at the top of that division, especially with Tampa Bay and Boston being in that division. Tampa Bay, a little bit slow out of the gate at 7-3-3, sitting in fourth place right now. Boston has only played 12 games, so their point numbers are a little bit distorted. They've only got 14 points, but they've also played three less games than Florida, four less games than Toronto and Detroit, all of those teams being ahead of them in the standings. I suspect that Florida is probably playing a tad above their expected skill level, and I suspect that Tampa Bay is playing a tad below their expected skill level. So, again, let's look at that in a few weeks and see how it's leveled out. I would not be surprised if 3 weeks from now we looked at those numbers and we saw that Florida and Tampa had pretty much changed places in that division. Carolina proved last year that they were a good hockey club. They had a very good playoff season. That doesn't surprise me at all. That division is probably one of the weaker divisions. It's a very competitive division, but it's a little bit weaker in terms of the quality of teams, and all you have to do there is look at how badly the Pittsburgh Penguins and the New York Islanders, two teams that we thought would do well, have fallen to the bottom of that division. And granted, with 14 points for Pittsburgh and 12 for the Islanders, they're still 10 and 12 points behind the Carolina Hurricanes, but they're not buried at the bottom of a division. So there's room for them to come back. Minnesota's a little bit of a surprise. I thought they played very well last year, and once again, that's a very competitive division. And the two teams I expected to do well there were St. Louis and Colorado. And St. Louis got off to a great start, was leading that division for several weeks. They've fallen down a little bit in the last week to 10 days, currently sitting with 18 points from 13 games, which puts them in fourth place. Minnesota showed signs of coming around last year, so I think, like Florida, this is a little bit of advanced development, but not unsurprising. And the Edmonton Oilers, we all know the talent that they've got on that team, most of it being offensive. They're playing very, very well. The team that's surprising me in that division, two teams actually, the Anaheim Ducks are really surprising me. 19 points from 15 games, winners of six games in a row. I did not have the Ducks marked as doing anything spectacular this season. And the Calgary Flames have played well above what I expected. Obviously, Daryl Sutter coming in as head coach for a full season, he's always been known as a good defensive coach. Calgary was here in Toronto earlier this week. It's very easy to see his influence in terms of defensive hockey on the Calgary Flames. Tight game with Toronto Maple Leafs. Leafs won it in overtime. So at the end of the day, Calgary, a big surprise in that division. And, you know, then for every surprise, you've got to have a few disappointments. And I guess the disappointments, we've already talked about Pittsburgh and the Islanders. Colorado's a disappointment being where they are, but McKinnon's out for a couple of weeks, and I've always thought that as McKinnon goes, the Avalanche goes. And then in the Western Conference Pacific Division, it's Vancouver Canucks. I didn't think that they would lead the division, but I didn't think they'd be playing as badly as they have been playing. They're losers of three in a row, currently sitting in seventh place ahead of only Seattle. I think something has to happen in Vancouver. I know the owner has all of a sudden followed the team for the last couple of games, and that is not usually a good sign when the owner goes on the road. You have to sense that there's some changes coming in one way, shape, or form, whether it's management, coaching, or players. When the owner follows the team on the road, you usually figure there's a change coming somewhere.
Yeah, no, you do figure that a change is coming somewhere. And that is the voice of John Poulter, our professor of sports here on the Dorfon Sports Weekend Edition. John, we've talked hockey. Let's hang around a little bit and talk baseball after the break. And we'll be right back after these words.
Lindbergh, Dubois spins, turns, spins with a stop there. Klefbom reaching for it. Atkinson gets it to Werenski. Scores! Power play goal!
Flyers have a chance here. Couturier with a breakaway. In on goal! He scores! He was checked. The puck kind of rolled away from him. In it went. And it's 2-0 Philadelphia. Four and a half minutes in.
Penguins mark 2-for-2 on the power play tonight. McCann, cross ice, speed, Crosby in front. Score! Third power play goal for the Penguins.
This is Dorf on Sports.
We'll be right back. Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
This is Dorf on Sports.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition. My name is Mike Wilson. I am filling in for the Dorf Man once again, who is just not with us this weekend and on vacation, but I am joined by our professor of sports, John Poulter. John, let everybody know where they can get at you or get to you on Twitter or Facebook or whatever social media that you may have.
Well, my Twitter handle is at 12JohnPoulter.
Okay. And look, you can get at the Dorf on Sports through Facebook. You go to the Dorf on Sports Facebook page. You go to Instagram, the real Dorf on Sports. For some posts and comments and opinions on just about anything going on in the world of sports. You can get at Andy on Twitter at Dorf on Sports. You can get at me through Twitter with my handle is Pigskin Opinion. So you kind of know where my thing lies in terms of what I follow, do a lot of football. So, but we're not talking football right now. We're talking baseball. And John, you know, I did something that you're probably going to think is pretty cool, but the city that I'm going to do it in, you're like, well, I could, you know, take that or leave it. I am taking my son to Fenway Park for opening day against the Rays. And then the next night, the Boston Celtics are in town, and I'm going to take him to a Celtic game in Boston. But the big deal is going to Fenway Park. It's always been a dream of mine, going to Fenway. for any game. It doesn't matter, but we're going to go opening day. He's going to miss a little school for it, but that's okay. Sometimes, you know, you got to put school in the back mirror a little bit and have some fun in life. So, you know, come March, we're going to be in Boston. What do you think?
Well, I've never been to Fenway Park. I've always had an inkling to visit a lot of these old stadiums. There's a few that I have missed that I now regret not having made a trip to, notwithstanding the fact that Detroit is only about a four-hour drive from Toronto. I was never able to get to Tiger Stadium and watch a ball game there, and that's something I really wish that I had been able to do, because I've heard so many stories about the history of Tiger Stadium. I know it was not in what at that time was not a very nice part of Detroit, but it was still Tiger Stadium. It was still a historic place. It was still Major League Baseball. I've been to Wrigley Field. I've never seen a game at Wrigley Field, but I have been to Wrigley Field. Fenway Park is another place that I would like to visit at some point. Very tough for a Toronto Blue Jay fan to consider taking in a game at Fenway Park, and I guess unless it was a Blue Jay game, it would be a little bit difficult for me. But knowing how difficult it is to get tickets at a place like Fenway Park, I've never really pursued it that aggressively. It's probably something I should do. Clearly, you've done it, and you have been successful in getting those tickets, so it's something to look forward to over the winter. And I know your son is a big Red Sox fan, so that's got to be a real thrill for him to be in Fenway Park on opening day, and then for you to see your Celtics the following night, that's got to be a treat for you. So it sounds like a great father-son blending or bonding a relationship that's coming up next spring, and I'm sure you're going to count the days over the winter towards that.
My son is already counting the days. I think he has a calendar with the days on, crossing off the days
for
Christmas
off.
And then his birthday. Yeah, you know, kind of thing. But look, the big super agent Scott Boras comes out and says, you know, the Braves won their title because they were tanking in Major League Baseball. I don't really buy that. I don't particularly enjoy what Boras puts out there half the time, because it's most self-aggrandizing half the time with Scott Boras. But what do you think about his comments in terms of, you know, this is the reason that they won the title?
I thought it was in very poor taste. I don't have a lot of respect for Scott Boras from the standpoint that he's very biased, in my opinion, of recommending his clients to sign with the Toronto Blue Jays, which is where my heart lies in terms of baseball. I thought it was, quite frankly, I thought it was a bit of a low blow. You know, instead of giving credit to a general manager for going out and rebuilding his team in July when his best player went down and was out for the season, and we all kind of thought that they were done and dusted at that point, if we'd have had this conversation in July when Acuna went down, and somebody would have said the Braves will not only win the World Series, but even would be in the World Series, I think we would have all kind of raised our eyebrows a little bit. I think Anthopoulos went out and did a wonderful job in restocking that team. And, he took advantage of teams that were trying to move players because of contracts or move players because of dollars. Either way, you've got to give him credit for going out and strengthening his team and going for it. You know, we saw Alex Anthopoulos go for it when he was here in Toronto in 2015 and 2016. I think it's a great thing, to say that teams are tanking. We all know that teams tank. We've seen it go on in sports for many, many years. We've seen it go on in hockey before there was a draft lottery. We've seen it go on in basketball before there was a lottery. We've seen it go on in football so that somebody can get the coveted number one pick out of the college ranks. It's nothing new. It's a little different in baseball, because if you tank in baseball, yes, it gives you more draft picks early, but in baseball we all know that a draft pick is usually 3 to 4 years away from you knowing exactly what you have drafted. So it's not a quick fix in baseball. We did see the Houston Astros do, and the Cubs both do the same thing. They were down for 3 or 4 years, and then they had success mid to late 2010s. I don't think it's going to change, and what Mr. Boras should be looking at is the worth of his clients and getting his clients the best contracts. And quite frankly, it shouldn't matter to him which teams are competitive and which are not. He's negotiating with X number of teams for X number of players every free agent season, and that should be his focus. That's his job. He should be leaving the management of teams to ownership and the front offices.
That is the voice of John Poulter, our professional sports here on the Dorfon Sports Weekend Edition. John, we got a couple minutes before we got a break, but my question is, look, we got Kershaw, Scherzer, Gausman, Verlander, we got talent that's going to be available during the free agent period. What do you see happening with a guy like Kershaw and Scherzer and Gausman and Verlander happening with free agency?
Well, it's hard to imagine Kershaw going anywhere. I suspect that the Dodgers will probably want to re-sign him. I think that's where he would like to re-sign. Question is, can they get together in terms of dollars and the term of the contract? Unfortunately, Kershaw has had some injury issues over the years. That may be a factor. Verlander is coming off Tommy John surgery. Somebody's probably going to take a chance on him. I suspect it will be Houston. Gausman, I can see making big dollars going somewhere else, although after the season the San Francisco Giants had, if you're looking to stay as a winner, why not just stay in San Francisco?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree, and I hear the music, so we got a break here. But come back to the Dorfon Sports Weekend Edition. This is Mike Wilson, joined by John Poulter, Professor of Sports, here on The Weekend Show.
Swing and a fly ball. Hits a pretty deep left field off the bat of Walker at the wall. And this one is gone. Diamondbacks on the board. It's a 2-1 ball game on Christian Walker's third home run of the season.
This is Dorfon Sports.
A COVID-19 update pertaining to cruise travel. Everyone wants to get away and go on a vacation. But let's face it, there's a COVID fear factor out there. But here's some good news. Taking a cruise is probably the safest place you can be right now. All cruise lines have initiated very thorough testing requirements for all passengers and employees. They've also enhanced their air filtration systems, continual cleaning of the cruise ships, and have much stricter occupancy limitations. What that means for you is you can have peace of mind knowing you can have a wonderful vacation on a cruise ship without putting yourself in a severe risk of getting sick. Make your cruise vacation plans now. Call and let one of Viva Voyage's cruise experts help you find the safest cruise package at the lowest rates of the year.
800-585-4760. 800-585-4760. 800-585-4760. That's 800-585-4760.
If you've got a small business, you know there's nothing more valuable than your time. So why waste it at the post office? Stamps.com makes it easy to mail and ship right from your computer. No special equipment required. Whether you're in office sending invoices, a side hustle Etsy shop, or a full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. You'll even get exclusive discounts on postage and shipping from USPS and UPS. And their new Rate Advisor tool lets you compare shipping rates across carriers so you always find the best option. Save time and money with Stamps.com. There's no risk, and when you go to Stamps.com and use offer code FOCUS, you'll receive a 4-week free trial, plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top and enter code FOCUS. That's Stamps.com, promo code FOCUS. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again.
You love your dog. Is something bothering him or her and you can't figure out what it is? Maybe they seem slow or lethargic, and maybe they just don't have energy. Wouldn't you like your dog to be living their very best life? Pet Joy offers a money-back guarantee on all of its products. If your dog won't eat it or you don't see the results you want, just let us know and we'll make it right. Totally risk-free. What do you have to lose? You can't buy Pet Joy multivitamins in a store. The only way you can get them is through this unique radio offer. And if you call right now, learn how to get 2 bottles free with your order. Turn your dog's life around and make him or her a happy camper. Ain't that right, boy? He said call Pet Joy right now. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. That's 800-846-2153.
win it. Oh, my God, the Indians win it. Unbelievable.
This is Dorf on Sports.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition. My name is Mike Wilson. I'm filling in for Andy Dorf, who is off on vacation, hopefully enjoying himself and a little downtime. But I am joined, as always, as we always have every week, by John Poulter, straight from Toronto, Canada. And we're talking some baseball. And, you know, John, we've talked about maybe pitchers going different places and stuff, but that can all get put on hold if there's a lockout in baseball. There's a lot of people that think that Major League Baseball is headed towards a lockout. I like to keep an open mind about that, and hopefully there's no, you know, stoppage in play or anything like that. What are your thoughts in terms of lockout, Major League Baseball, what baseball has to do to avoid it, and what can be done to avoid it?
Well, I'm like you. I like to look at it with an open mind. I do have a feeling that we might be looking at a lockout, because we all know how much the owners and the Players Association have disliked themselves or disliked each other over the years. Both sides have got some very strong points, and they're both pretty stubborn, and the baseball, as we know, has probably the strongest union of any of the major professional sports here in North America. Never surprised me if we saw a lockout. I think one of the big issues is going to be the designated hitter. I know there's a lot of pull for the designated hitter to become universal. It's been in the American League since 1973. Clearly, it's going to stay in the American League. I think when you look at Major League Baseball in its entirety, this is kind of puzzling that they're still split on the DH, because over the years, we've seen the two leagues come together. We've seen the respective league presidents' positions replaced, and now the commissioner has total authority over everybody. We've seen the two league offices collapse. We've seen the National League umpire staff and the American League umpire staff over the last 20 years merged into a Major League umpiring staff. So we have similar circumstances everywhere except in the rules on the playing field. And to have two very distinct rules for something as simple as a pitcher hitting, to me, is mind-boggling. I'd like to see it one way. When I watch a National League game now, I love the strategy of taking the pitcher out when you're a run down in the seventh inning. Do you pinch hit for him if your pitcher's doing well, or do you make a double switch? I love that kind of strategy. But there's nothing more frustrating to me than watching an American League team on the road in a National League park where the pitcher has to stand in the batter's box and, for the most part, stands there and does one of two things. He feebly swings at three pitches, or the bat never lifts his shoulder, and he's gone on three pitches, maybe four, depending on how accurate the pitcher is. That is not a whole lot of fun. I'd like to see it universal, and while I'm not a big fan of the DH because I think it is extending careers that they're not complete players anymore, I think it's important that we have one rule, and I think it's got to happen. The second issue, of course, is always about money and contracts and free agent status and all of those kinds of wonderful things, and those are going to be big discussions. I don't really want to get into that because it's not something I really have an awful lot of knowledge of. We all know that every agent is trying to get the most for his players. We all know that every general manager is trying to sign players for the longest term for the lowest dollars, while still being fair. That becomes a business decision, and many times on this show we've talked about the two seasons of baseball. We've talked about the playing season, and we've talked about the business season, and right now we're in that business season. And the other issue, of course, we talked about free agents a few minutes ago, and you know, one thing we didn't mention was that great number of shortstops that are available in terms of class free agent shortstop signings that will be up this year. If there's a work stoppage, how does that affect free agency? Do they go back to the 2021 rules? Do they put it on hold until there's a new agreement in place? That could also throw a lot of confusion into it, and I suspect that it will hold up a lot of the free agent signings, because until they know whether there's a basic agreement in place, a general manager won't want to commit a guy to a seven-year contract, money guaranteed, if there's no games next year. So I think it's important that the two sides get together, put this together as quickly as they can, get something in place so that we can move on. Otherwise, we're going to see an awful lot of signings of big names in spring training next year.
No, I tend to agree, and I tend to agree with your thought on the DH. I like the strategy of having the pitcher, you know, are you hitting them in the bottom of the seventh, like you said, in the top of the seventh? Are you going to pinch hit? What are you going to do with that? So I like it from that standpoint. But I also, look, we have to have some universal rules, whether you're playing in the National League or American League, it doesn't matter. These are the rules, and the rules are the rules, and the rules. So, you know, my thought with all of this is they got to get together. They got to come together. And like you said, they haven't been really fond of each other over the years. I mean, there's been a number of work stoppages in Major League Baseball, and I would just hate to see baseball kind of step on themselves a little bit and let this happen, because we're coming off a pandemic. We're coming off of fans not there. You know, in America, baseball's kind of like the third rail. They're not in the top two in terms of everybody's favorite sports to go watch. So it's one of those things where you just hope baseball can kind of get out of its own way and get this solved for the fans themselves. So, you know, John, put your GM hat on a little bit here. If you mentioned all these free agent shortstops, which one, if money was no object for you and your Toronto Blue Jays, who would you love to see the Blue Jays go get?
Well, that's a great question, because the Blue Jays already have a pretty good shortstop in the name of Bichette, Bo Bichette. So, you know, the Blue Jays probably are a team that doesn't need a shortstop. It's not a place where there's a gaping hole. If you're asking me if dollars were no object, which in Toronto they are, because although Toronto is a large market, the fifth largest metropolis in North America, they think of themselves as a small market when it comes to spending money in baseball terms. I got to think that Correa is probably the top pick. I mean, you couldn't go wrong with Baez, Sager, Story, Marcus Semien, or even Andrelton Simmons. I mean, you think of, you know, everybody talks about the Big Five, but let's keep in mind that Simmons signed a one-year contract with the Minnesota Twins, so he's going to be a nice fallback position for a team that needs a shortstop and either doesn't win one of the Big Five or can't afford to sign one of the Big Five. I mean, that's going to be a big question for me, too, is, you know, there's six names that are quality Major League shortstops. Are there six teams that are, A, able to afford these guys, B, are close enough to winning that they can justify spending that kind of money, and C, even need a shortstop of that caliber? So somebody at the end of this day, in terms of the shortstops, is going to be stuck taking a contract that they don't like, or going to a team that they don't like, or finding themselves having to go back to their old team cap in hand and say, I'd like to come back, there's no market for me. So I think it's going to be very interesting how that shakes out over the year, over the offseason. But if you're looking at, you know, who is the best guy, I'd have to go with Correa, from the standpoint that, you know, he's good defensively, he's got some power, he's a good fielder, he's been on winning teams, he knows how to win, he'll bring a good culture to a clubhouse. But at the end of the day, the Blue Jays don't need a shortstop. But somebody is going to pay big money for these guys. You know, Baez, I don't know whether he goes back to the Mets or not. He's clearly going to be a second baseman if he goes back to the Mets. I'm not sure if that's what his ego wants. Seager's a pretty good shortstop. The Dodgers will probably want to have him back, but they can always slide Turner over if they lose Seager. Story, I think we all know, is pretty much done in Colorado. I was surprised he was still around after the trade deadline. Marcus Semien was a better player at second base for the Blue Jays this year than he has been at shortstop in terms of his numbers over the years. So he's an option that teams might look at as a second baseman, and he may find himself going as a second baseman if other teams want to pay the big bucks to the so-called Big Five. So at the end of the day, in answer to your question, I think Correa is probably the best guy out there. I don't see the Blue Jays as a candidate for him. They'd have to find another place for Bichette. Maybe they slide Bichette over to second base if Semien signs someplace else, but I just don't see Correa coming to Toronto. My money is on him going to Detroit, who are looking to build up that team talent-wise and culture-wise, and he has a tie to A.J. Hinch. I think if the dollars are right, I think that's where Correa goes.
No, I would tend to agree with you in terms of where Korea is going to go. You know me fairly well. I'm a big Baez guy, but there are limitations that I see with Baez. Like, he strikes out way too much for me. He's not as disciplined at the plate as he should be. I mean, he's gotten better, but it's not so good where you're just like, all right, Javi, don't swing at the high and outside or the low and inside kind of stuff. Baez, yeah, I mean, his ego is pretty high. I mean, they're all their egos are pretty high. I mean, they're professional level. I mean, they hit the DNA lottery in terms of being able to play the game, that kind of thing. But to me, Baez is, I don't know where he's going to go, and I don't know. I mean, there's a market for him. But in terms of, you know, what he's really worth, is he a $300 million guy? I mean, I see Correa as a $300 million guy. Maybe Seager is, but I don't know about Baez getting to that magical 300 number.
I agree with you, and I think when teams take a look at the Lindor situation 12 months ago and the dollars that the Mets signed him to and the productivity they got out of him and the success that the Mets had or did not have on the field, I think there's got to be a lot of concern about signing a guy to those kind of dollars. And you talk about Baez striking out, and everybody talks about strikeouts as being a problem, and I'm not a big fan of strikeouts, but if I've got a guy at the plate and I've got a runner on first base, I'd much rather see the guy strike out than hit a ground ball to the shortstop and have a double play. So sometimes a strikeout can be helpful, but Baez's plate discipline is not what it could be, should be for a player of his caliber. He wouldn't be at the top of that list, in my opinion, in terms of guys I'd want to sign. I think I'd be more interested in signing Seager, quite frankly. I just think Seager's proven over the years to be a more disciplined player. He's not as flashy a defender, but he's a very good defender. But mark my words, these guys will all get big money. They'll all be making more money than you and I a year from now.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, well, hey, John, I hear the music. We got a break. This is the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition, hosted by Mike Wilson and my friend John Poulter. Come back after these words.
High, deep drive. Back on it is Pollock. He's at the wall. It's gone! Number 33. Cubs lead 2-0.
Baez digs in. Iscofani's ready. Pitch. Swung on and driven a deep left center field. You can kiss that one goodbye. Home run, Javi Baez, and he's taking his time around the bases. A moonshot by Baez, and the Cubs lead the Reds 3-1.
This is Dorf on Sports.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation.
800-693-8290. 800-693-8290. 800-693-8290. That's 800-693-8290.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
This is Dorf on Sports.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition. Once again, my name is Mike Wilson, your host today. Andy's on vacation. He'll be back next week. Been joined all hour by my friend John Poulter, coming to us directly from Toronto, Canada. Larry, John, we're at that point in the show where we give our final takes, so you're up. What do you got, buddy?
Well, I guess going back to an extension of the discussion we had earlier, Mike, I'd like to know that we don't have a work stoppage coming up in baseball. For the reasons you pointed out, they're coming off a pandemic. We played a year with empty parks. I'd like to see two things in whatever the new basic agreement is. The first thing is the DH. As I mentioned, I'd like to see the DH become universal, if that's the way that it has to be. That would also open up a whole bunch more jobs, which would give designated hitters a bigger market in terms of where to look. But to me, the most important thing in that basic agreement that I haven't heard anybody talk about addressing, but I think needs to be addressed, is the start time of postseason games. To start postseason games that take sometimes up to 4 hours at 8 o'clock Eastern is ridiculous. It's tough for the guys that have to go to work the next day. It's eliminating the future fans of baseball, which are today's kids, because no parent wants their kid up at 10 after 12 in the morning watching a baseball game. They got to find a way to move these to an earlier start. Otherwise, all the baseball fans 10 years from now will be on the West Coast because nobody will have seen a postseason baseball game in the East. So that's what I would like to see. Whether it's going to happen or not, of course, is another story. I don't even think it's on the agenda, but I'd love to see it there. And if I was the commissioner, that's one of the things I'd be looking for.
You know what, John? Great minds think alike, and I'm the same way. I love going to baseball games. I love seeing them in person. I love watching the playoffs on TV, the whole thing. And to get a stoppage of play, like I said earlier, coming off a pandemic and all those kind of things, I think it would take a toll on Major League Baseball and take a toll on the fans, because the fans have had to live through this before in terms of work stoppages. So, you know what? My final take is, let's hope baseball doesn't do that. Let's hope they find a solution, they get it solved, and we keep playing ball, you know, in our Major League ballpark. So for John Poulter, for Scotty behind the glass, for myself, Mike Wilson, thanks for coming and joining in on the weekend edition of the Dorf on Sports Show. We'll see you next weekend, everybody.
What?
This, ladies and gentlemen, concludes our show.
Maybe do it again sometime.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Dorf on Sports with Andy Dorf. Till next time.